I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, we speak to three pillars of the civil rights movement, Andrew Young, Julian Bond, and the Reverend Jesse Jackson Sr., and sights and sounds from the National Mall. But first, yesterday's ceremony was one of the largest ever gatherings in the nation's capital. Unofficial estimates say that more than 1 million people braved frigid temperatures on the National Mall and along the parade route. And that was just one day of a weekend of activities that included prayer services, a whistle-stop train tour, and a massive volunteer effort to mark Martin Luther King Day on Monday. It was an enormous operation made possible in large measure by a huge force of volunteers. Joining us now to talk about the role they played in the festivities of the weekend are Dani Tucker. You know her from our mom segment. She's one of our regular contributors, and she volunteered at an inaugural prayer service attended by the new president and first family. Robert Egger is the founder and president of DC Central Kitchen, an organization that helps fight poverty, hunger, and homelessness. Some of the graduates of his program work the events over the weekend. And Bishop Randolph Gurley, he's the senior pastor at the Tabernacle Church in Maryland, and he helped host the inaugural prayer on Monday night. Welcome all to the program. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
So, Dani, first, you were selected to staff the service at St. John's Church, which was attended by President Obama and First Lady Michelle Obama and the family and the Biden. So, first of all, how did you work your way into that event? How'd that happen?
L-U-C-K. I got real lucky. That's the only
or
way
blessed.
I can explain it. Really blessed, though. Really blessed. It was the first event of the day. We were honored, the volunteers of us that were selected. I slept at work. Well, if you want to call it sleep, because I didn't want to be late. You
but
know.
How did it happen? How did you get into
well,
the mix?
Well, I applied on the internet, you know, like everybody else. Of course, the email started going around, and all of us wanted to answer Barack's call to do our part. You know, where do you start? So I said, well, you know, that's a great place to start. Let's volunteer. Do what we can. And I believe they got like 60,000 applications or whatever. And when they interviewed us, I mean, it was a 2-week process. You know, they spoke about especially of wanting the D.C. people to be involved, the natives. And I was really touched by that, you know, because we can help in so many ways, you know, not just with volunteering, but with directions, with everything. So, you know, that's how we got selected. And when they called me, I thought I hit the lottery, you know, minus the money, because it was an honor to be a part with all those applications that they got. And especially for this, you know, I told them I would have been happy with bathroom service, you know. I'd have changed the toilet paper if you wanted me to. It didn't matter what you wanted me to do, I would have done it. And then to get the church service, I mean, and to tell that to my 87-year-old grandmother, I mean, oh, who didn't she call? You know, so, you know, the church service was great. I mean, I was usher inside. I got to sit Oprah down and Stedman down. Funny, but Eric Holder was the first one there. I mean, that's the energy of the day. I thought it would be the ticket holders. Eric Holder was the first one in the ride.
The Attorney General, right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you just did not want to miss it. You just did not want to miss your assignment. And we served with tears and with joy. And it was just one of the happiest days in my life. You know, just to be at that service. I also got to work the parade route, too.
All right. So. Well, I'm going to hear about that. But let's bring Robert Egger in. Now, I understand that D.C. Central Kitchen was actually closed yesterday for the first time in...
Yeah, 20 years, man. Our first donor food was George Bush Sr. So 7 days a week, 365 for 20 years, we've been cranking out thousands of meals.
Why were you closed?
We were in the security zone. You know, we're only about a couple hundred yards from the Capitol. So we were just in that kind of no-fly zone. So we couldn't get trucks in or out. So that meant on Monday... Thanks to a whole lot of volunteers, we put out 20,000 meals in one day to get out to all the different shelters that were open for 24 hours.
Well, how did you get involved? In fact, that your organization has a history of connection to inaugural ceremonies. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, it's kind of like an anniversary for us. So, you know, we ended up cooking about 20,000 cookies for the Clinton administration. We always wanted to take it up a notch. We do job training, and we're always trying to use that as a backdrop to really elevate the dialogue about men and women. Or you know, we can do more in this country than have people stand in line for free food. So, again, we've always tried to find a way. In fact, students cooked about 8,000 shortbread cookies based on Michelle Obama's recipe for guests at the Ritz, and we had we did a bunch of stuff for the volunteers down on the mall. Just we tried to be way up in it.
And as just to clarify for folks who do not know, D.C. Central Kitchen opened up on Inauguration Day 20 years ago. George H.W. Bush, the 41st president, was the first donor of food.
Yeah, we had lobster bisque. I mean, you wouldn't believe what I hauled out of the inaugurations back then. It was a different era. You know, that era of leftover food has kind of shifted, so have we.
Well, just to clarify again, that you used to actually get donations of food left over from these events, and you were able to repurpose it? Obviously, it's all sanitary. This is part of your job.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You figure that out. But
yeah, well, I mean, thousands of pounds. I mean, we'd pull in, and again, part of the job training program, we'd just make sure, we'd make good meals out of it, make sure other people got fed.
All right. Bishop Gurley, you hosted an inaugural prayer event on Monday night. How did that come about?
Well, actually, it was a tremendous occasion. We, for the last five inaugurations, the Ask for America, which is a prayer and intercessory ministry that is in the Capitol, in the D.C. area, around the Capitol, 7 days a week with different people who just pray over the city, who meet with different officials and that. And always we have the inaugural prayer breakfast, which is held in one of the major hotels. This year it would have been in the Marriott, about 3,500 seats or so. But because of the logistics of getting into the city, no one knew what was going to happen. And, of course, when you're reading things like where we're going to park 10,000 buses, you know, people coming from out of town and that kind of thing. It's always been very successful because of nationally known ministers, governors, senators, different people come together at the breakfast. And it's all about prayer. It's to cover the new president and his cabinet and the city and take time to pray for every area, our Department of Government, from the Secretary of State, Attorney General, the military, and so on and so on. Well, this year, because of the logistics, they actually decided to cancel it, the inauguration, the inaugural prayer breakfast, because of people were calling and saying, we don't know how we can get in, we can't get hotel rooms, one thing and another. So they asked, could we move, and it was kind of a last-minute type of thing, could we move it to the Tabernacle Church in Laurel? And we said, you know, of course.
Was it nerve-wracking, though, in a way? I mean, obviously, your job is to connect with people in times of personal crisis, you know, funerals and things of that sort. I mean, that's part of the job description. But just to host so many people, was it nerve-wracking in any way?
Well, I wouldn't say nerve-wracking because, you know, we have great people. And, of course, as a bishop, we also have a number of churches that always come together. So dozens of churches, dozens of African-American churches, African, Hispanic, Asian, Vietnamese. I mean, you know, it was just wonderful for everyone to come together. And, of course, we had a lot of pageantry. It was like a 4th of July type of thing, you know, with the decoration, with the dancing, with all the music. Leon Patillo, who used to be with the Santana, Carlos Santana, who's now a pastor in Long Beach, California. Tremendous, you know, worshiper and singer and whatever. And he came, they had put together the choir. So everything that would have happened at the inaugural prayer breakfast, as far as, you know, entertainment and worship and praise and et cetera, took place. And it was just an absolute wonderful, it just all came together. And, you know, when we hear things like on the news this morning that, you know, you have 2 million people in the city, 1.5 million maybe on the mall, and everywhere anyone could see a TV monitor, and there were no arrests, no incidents of any kind of violence. And, you know, everyone really not knowing what was going to happen because this is such a historic event. Nothing has ever happened like this here in the district before. And to bring all of these people together, you know, I mean, they brought in all kind of special forces, troops, and all kind of things. So, you know, it just really makes you want to thank God because you realize that all of that prayer, those prayers that to keep everyone safe, that there will be no incidents, there will be no manifestation of any kind of evil or violence or terrorism or anything. And then to hear on the news, the national news this morning, that there were no incidents, then we know, you know, our part of the inauguration, we did our part and God did his part.
If you're just joining us, this is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm speaking with Bishop Randolph Gurley, Danny Tucker, and Robert Egger about all the work they and other volunteers did to support the inaugural festivities. So, Danny, I was going to ask you the same question. Were you nervous at all?
Oh, yeah, of course I was nervous. That's why I couldn't sleep, didn't eat all day. Because you just don't want to mess up. I mean, it's the greatest day in history, in my opinion. And the last thing you want to do is, you know, sit somebody in the wrong spot, you know. I didn't recognize Salazar because he didn't have on one of his cool hats, you know. So I'm putting him in the, you know.
That's the Interior Secretary.
Right,
designated Senator from Colorado, Ken Salazar.
I'm putting him in the wrong spot. And he goes, I'm Salazar. I'm like, I'm sorry. You know, it's just like, you know, it's the last thing you really wanted to
do. Was he nice about it?
He was so nice. I mean, that was another thing. Everybody was so humble. Oprah was humble. I mean, the people I ran into, You know, it didn't matter if you were the least or the smallest or the greatest or what. It didn't matter. That day, it was about history.
Were you given instructions, like, not to take, don't hound people
most
for pictures?
You know,
and stuff
no autographs, no hounding people for pictures. You know, and you know what? We didn't want to do that. I mean, you know, we had the training, we had the briefing and all that. But, you know, most of us, for the most part, wanted to serve, you know. I mean, and when I did see Bishop Jakes and when I did see Yolanda Adams, you know, in the vestibules waiting to do their part, they were just as humble as I were. You know, I'm like, oh, Bishop, you know, I wanted to shake his hand. Do I shake your hand? You know, you just didn't know what to do. It was just that great. He didn't know, you know, do I shake her hand or, oh, just give me a hug. I mean, you know, it's one of those type of situations. Nobody knew it wasn't scripted. You know, it just was not scripted. We just went with it, and it was one of the most joyful experiences I have ever had of 12 hours.
Really? You could have fooled
work.
Me from your demeanor here.
I know. I'm
just sort of shocked that you had a good time. That's great.
I mean, it was just great. I'm tired, but it was the best tired in the world.
Robert Hager, I wanted to ask you, forgive me for introducing a sour note, but is there anything bittersweet about this for you in a sense that there's so much joy and yet there are a lot of people hurting right now?
Yeah, there are. And, you know, again, we have a rough road ahead for everybody, you know, but I think the glorious opportunity we have with this president is, you know, this, I think these foolish lines that demarcated business, government, and nonprofits are going to start to be blurred. And I think that, you know, again, the era of traditional charity, I'm hoping we're moving to a very, very different era in this country. I mean, you know, I was down on the steps of the Lincoln yesterday. And again, I think for a lot of people, you know, Dr. King marched here 40 years ago, a Poor People's Campaign for Economic Justice, not, you know, Poor People's Campaign for Kitchens. So I'm anxious to see an end of this era of charity and a real bold new step into, again, a great new approach.
Have you heard from any of the folks that you've trained who worked on some of these events? Have you ever talked to any of those?
Oh, my goodness, yeah. I was at the kitchen this morning. I mean, you know, we were rolling out this morning. But, again, all the students were kind of in the room and still, again, like all of us, just pumped up. I mean, we were all part of history yesterday. And I think that was the joy of the kitchen yesterday. You know, it's a great leveler. You know, I think on days like today, man, it doesn't matter whether you're right out of the jailhouse or fresh into the White House. Man, D.C. was alive yesterday, and it was a beautiful day to be in the nation's capital.
Bishop, what about you? Was there any, or did you, if I could just ask, what was your preparation for this particular kind of service? And, of course, you've hosted and been part of many, many significant events. But did you take any special moment for yourself to prepare for this as part of these events?
Well, yes, you know, it was a special moment for me because, you know, I come from Central Florida, and myself, I was raised in total segregation. And, you know, to see the expectations, we really didn't know how all of this was going to come together. But to see what happened, how people were, someone was cold of another race, someone would come up, you know, and hug them, offer them a coat, whatever. And to see that flow together, and it's like the brother has said, you know, when we talk about, you know, the grassroots and the faith-based initiative and stuff, you know, we see the communities coming together. We don't have the dichotomies that we've had. We see a real blending. And, you know, it's really special. I was listening to one part of the other broadcast with a professor from Columbia and talking about, you know, Abraham Lincoln and, of course, President Obama. And, you know, we go back to prayer again. Dr. Phineas Gurley was Abraham Lincoln's pastor. He pastored the New York Avenue Presbyterian Church. In fact, if you go there, you'll see Lincoln's handwritten notes of the Emancipation Proclamation on the wall, which he brought those notes to his pastor, Dr. Gurley, and said, any changes or additions that you feel necessary, feel free. And, of course, some he did write in, many of them, that stayed in the final document. But when we talk about, you know, coming together in unity and in prayer, when you look at the notes that Dr. Gurley wrote and from Lincoln, during those war years, Lincoln would, you know, summon him to the White House, and they would walk in the south portico of the White House and pray until the sun came up. So some people say, you know, Lincoln was different, you know, at the end of his term concerning slavery and abolishing slavery than he was in the beginning. And the reason for that is God really did change his heart. And, you know, and that's the clergy when we come together and we are praying because this young man who sat down in that Oval Office yesterday, he probably has as much or more weight on him maybe than any other president in the last 100 years. And certainly he needs the support. He needs the unity. He needs the nonpartisan attitude in Washington. And certainly, you know, the clergy and the churches, when we saw all the different denominations coming together, all the different races coming together, you know, as one to say, look, this is our president, this is our country, you know, we are the people. And, of course, today you got over 300 million people looking to him in this time of, you know, economic crisis and two wars. And so, you know, we just... Just the prayer. That's important.
Okay.
Thing, you know?
I'm sorry to cut you off, Bishop. I just wanted to hear a final word from each of our other two guests. We only have about 2 minutes left. I just wanted to ask each of you very briefly, Bob Eger, what do you remember from yesterday? What's your memory this weekend?
I got to tell you, it hurt. I smiled so hard. You know, I mean, like everybody, I think it felt like a very, very new day in America's history.
And Danny, what's your memory?
I agree with Bishop. You know, that was my greatest memory. I've participated in marches, you know, my grandparents and everybody shared the history of their participation in marches. This was like the celebration of all the marches, you know. I was at the Million Man March, and to see this one, this was like every march we had, it came to this. It was worth it. Let's celebrate. We've arrived. And that's what I remember. And, I mean, it was the greatest melting pot I've ever seen. There was not a race that wasn't represented or a religion that wasn't represented yesterday, and it was just a blessing.
Bishop, I have time for a final thought from you. What's going to be your outstanding memory from this weekend?
Well, my outstanding memory is to see the tears on people's faces, like I say, being raised in total segregation, and seeing African Americans with snow white hair, knowing and believing that they would never in their lifetime have seen this. That's something that will stay with me for the rest of my life.
Bishop G. Randolph Gurley is the senior pastor at the Tabernacle Church in Maryland. He helped host the inaugural prayer and praise event there on Monday. He joined us on the phone. Danny Tucker volunteered at an inaugural prayer service attended by the First Family and the family of Vice President Joe Biden at St. John's Church in Washington, D.C. And Robert Eger is founder and president of D.C. Central Kitchen. That's an organization that fights poverty, hunger, and homelessness through training and education. Danny and Bob Eger were kind enough to join us in our D.C. studios. Thank you both so much for joining us.
Such a pleasure.
Thank you all of you.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. We'll be right back.